Chapter 1. Kendall. How many times have you put something into your mouth and thought, "This does not taste good. Am I supposed to swallow it?" And then you do, and you regret it, but seconds later you forget how much you hated it and put more of it in your mouth. Well, that was me last night, and I'm paying the price for it this morning. How can anyone drink whiskey? It tastes like dirt, and it's like swallowing lava. I should have just held it in my mouth and spit it out when no one was looking. No one really cares if you swallow, right? They just care that you're there making the effort. Okay, that's it for me. I know that it's a cliche for people to wake up with a hangover and claim they will never drink again, but I'm really not going to. I will never drink again. Not wine, not whiskey, not even a cider. I'm done with drinking. And while I'm at it, I need to reconsider my relationship with loud noises and the sun. "Can you quit that, please?" I said to my roommate Corey before groaning and rolling over, feeling awful.
"I was putting on my pants,"
Corey replied, confused.
"And can you do it quietly?"
"How many ways are there to put on your pants?"
I groaned. "I don't feel well."
"Do you want me to get you a glass of water or something? I'm gonna go get breakfast. Do you want me to bring you back a bagel?" I thought about a bagel with cream cheese and lox and almost threw up. What was Corey trying to do? Kill me? Our dorm room wasn't very big. Was he trying to get it all to himself? I moaned in reply and crawled into a ball. Corey remained quiet for a moment and then sat on the edge of my bed and pushed his fingers through my hair, scratching my scalp. It felt so good, it almost made me forget that he had a girlfriend. Aside from how loudly he put on pants, he was a very sweet guy. He was the type of guy I wished I could date if every gay guy didn't see me as quirky and sexless or their brother. "I take it you had a good time last night?"
"I don't remember," I admitted.
"Did you black out?"
"Yeah," I told him, burying my face in my pillow.
"Wow, that's rough," he said, rubbing my head a little harder.
The man had magic hands. If I were a dog, my leg would be going wild right now. Girlfriend or not, if he wanted to crawl into bed and wrap his arms around me, I wouldn't have objected. He wouldn't do that, though, because besides being annoyingly straight, he was the purest guy I knew. No matter how innocent, he would probably think of it as cheating. The man was just a good guy. I would probably spend the rest of my life looking for a gay guy like him.
"Can I ask you a question?" Corey asked seriously.
"If I will marry you? If you're going to keep rubbing my head like that, the answer is yes."
Corey chuckled.
"I'll keep that in mind, but that's not the question."
"Aww," I groaned disappointedly.
"I'm wondering why you have a piece of paper pinned to your shirt."
"What?"
Corey moved his magic fingers from my scalp and tugged at something hanging from my t-shirt. It was the one I was wearing when I headed out the night before, and until the moment of my memories went dark, the pinned paper hadn't been there. I rolled over to get a better look at it. Tilting it upwards, I saw words on it. "It's written upside down," I told him as the whiskey's remains sloshed around in my brain. Corey chuckled again.
"Let me get that for you."
He released the safety pin and stared at the note.
"Willow Pond at 2 p.m.? What does that mean?"
What did that mean? I knew Willow Pond. It was my favorite spot on campus. It was where I went when I needed a moment to think. But what about at 2 p.m.? I was rolling over to ask Corey if he had read it correctly when an image suddenly flashed into my mind. It was of a boy of indistinguishable size and shape, and he was leaning into me.
"Oh God, I kissed a boy," I said, shooting upright.
Apparently, it was a little too quickly, because with it came everything I consumed the night before. If our dorm room wasn't so close to the bathroom, I would never have made it. But when I returned from the porcelain god, I felt like a tiger on the hunt. That lasted about 30 seconds before I was reminded that the sun was the devil and I had to crawl back under my sheets. I wasn't exactly one of those popular gays who had a different guy in their bed every weekend. I would love to explain it by saying I was saving myself for marriage, but that wasn't it. Guys just weren't into me. In high school, I could blame it on being the only out guy there. But why was it the same in college? East Tennessee University even had an LGBTQIA+ club. I was a member of it for my first 2 years here. Since during that time no one had asked me out, I decided to take a break from it this year. What's a boy gotta do to get some lip-on-lip action? Apparently, it's to get blackout drunk where I can't remember what it felt like or who it was with. Great. Are you okay? My roommate asked, looking at me concerned. He was gonna make some lush a great husband one day. I think I kissed a boy. I heard. Who? I don't know. How could you not know? Because, unlike you, some of us make poor decisions and do things with complete strangers they don't remember, I explained. I make bad decisions sometimes. Sure you do, mister. I've practically been married since I was 17. You probably don't even know what a bad decision is. I'm not perfect. Yeah, right. Whatever. So, do you think the guy you kissed is the same guy who wrote this? I sat up. I do now. So, is this like an invitation? To meet at 2 p.m. at my favorite spot? Yeah, Corey said with building excitement. That's kind of romantic. It is, isn't it? Do you remember anything about the guy? He said with way more interest than any straight guy should have. I searched my memory. All I can remember is someone leaning into me. That's it. What about the angle? Leaning forward? Bending down? He was bending down, and he was big. I remember that. Big like actually big, or just bigger than you? Hey, we're the same size, I reminded Corey. I wasn't making a judgment. I was trying to get a reference. I think he was big. Like, I think I remember him having large hands. Large hands, Corey said suggestively. What? I said with a blush. I'm just saying. Corey smiled. On top of everything else great about him, he was also the perfect gay best friend when I needed him to be. I knew it didn't mean anything, and it was him being supportive, but it did allow my fantasies to run wild every so often. Okay, innuendo, hold your horses. We don't know anything about him. For all we know, he could be big because he was a statue my drunk ass was doing inappropriate things to. But would a statue write a note telling you to meet him at Willow Pond at 2? I thought about that. Corey was right. Whoever wrote the note was human. The guy I kissed was made of flesh and blood. Did this mean that I had met someone I liked who liked me back? Were miracles real? Kelly and I are going hiking, so I have to go grab breakfast. But you're meeting him, right? You mean the stranger who could be arranging the place to murder me? No, I mean the guy who kissed you under the stars and left you a trail to find him again. Do you see what I mean about Corey being too good to be straight? Corey got up and grabbed his keys and wallet. Kendall, as much as I've listened to you complain about not having anyone, there's no way you can't go. This could be the guy you spend the rest of your life with. Yeah, because he kills me and dumps my body in the pond. Corey laughed. Okay, do what you need to do. But if I come back tonight and you haven't met this guy, I will be very disappointed in you. Yes, Dad. Good boy, son, he said before kneeling on my bed and kissing my hair. Ugh, what did I say about Corey being perfect? There was no way that his girlfriend knew how great he was. Enough about the guy leaving to meet his girlfriend and who I will never have. It was time to think about whoever it was that safety pinned the note to me. I had to admit that it was at least a little romantic. Did he realize that I wouldn't remember the night and want to make sure that we would see each other again? That had to be it, right? Not that he didn't want to put his number in my phone for the police to find. Or maybe it was both. Slowly feeling my strength return, I searched my pocket for my phone. When I didn't find it, I searched my nightstand. It wasn't there either. Did I get so drunk I lost my phone? Crap! It was $800 and I'm still paying for it. I am seriously never drinking again. It's a good thing that apart from my parents, The only other person on it was the guy I lived with. Thank God for being unpopular. Needing to get something into my stomach, I eventually made my way to the cafeteria and filled my tray. I didn't know what would stay down, so I got a little bit of everything. Looking up from my food, a guy I recognized from class caught my eye and waved me to join his group. I waved him off, knowing that I couldn't carry on a conversation in my state. Besides, I wanted to see what I could remember before 2 p.m. If I didn't know what he looked like, how was I going to find him when I got there? How did I know he wasn't staring at me right now? I looked up and scanned the room. There were a lot of people. Most of them were engaged in conversation or staring down at their plate. The only one who wasn't was staring back at me. After a moment of eye contact, he came over. "Hey, Kendall, did you get my text about study group? Did you want to join?" he asked awkwardly. I knew him. It was the guy from psychology class who was always staring at me. I couldn't figure out what his deal was. Was there always something on my face, or was he just looking at the guy behind me? "I think I lost my phone," I said before wiping my mouth reflexively. "Seriously? That sucks. Tell me about it." "Did you need my number again?" "I don't have anything to put it in." "Right," he said, seeming disappointed. "Anyway, we're meeting on Thursday at Commons. It would be great if you could come." "I think I have something on Thursday, but maybe," I told him, not wanting to go. "Oh, okay. Just let me know." He smiled and returned to his table. I had to wonder about him. The guy was always asking me to join him for one thing or another. How many social events did he organize? Finishing my pancakes, I felt human enough to return to my room and get ready for the day. Sunday was a quiet day at the dorms. Most people were usually shaking off the effects of their Saturday night. Taking a shower, I couldn't help but imagine who it was who had pinned the note to my shirt. What if Corey was right and it was the love of my life? The odds of it being him were low, but it didn't mean it couldn't happen. The thought of it made me tingle with excitement. What would it be like to crawl into a guy's arms and fall asleep? What would it be like to have a boyfriend or to have sex? I didn't know about any of that stuff. All I knew was that no matter who this guy ended up being, I was going to do everything I could not to screw this up. I was tired of being alone. I wanted to know what love felt like. With our meeting time approaching and the butterflies swarming in my stomach, I found the nicest t-shirt I had and matched it to the same shade of black pants. Wrapping a studded leather bracelet around my wrist, I stood in front of the mirror and stared. This guy was sure to be disappointed when he saw me in the light of day, but this was the best I could do. Brushing my unruly curls off of my forehead, they fell back. Yeah, this was as good as it was going to get for me. It would have to be enough. Unable to put it off any longer, I left my room and headed to Willow Pond. I could barely breathe, I was so nervous. What would happen if I couldn't recognize him? What if he saw me, realized he had made a huge mistake, and then left me standing there waiting? The thought was almost enough to make me turn around, but I didn't. I continued step by step until the pond came into view. The place was practically empty. The only one there was a guy who stood along the shoreline staring at the ducks. Could that be him? It couldn't be. I could only see his back, but from it, I could tell that he was way out of my league. Imagine shoulders broad enough to carry the world and arms strong enough to crush it in his hands. His golden hair glistened as the reflection from the pond bounced off of it. The sight of him threatened to take my breath away. When he turned and our eyes met, it did. It was him, the guy from last night. I would have recognized him anywhere. All of my memories came rushing back. Drunk off my ass, I had walked up to him at the party and told him that he was the most gorgeous guy I had ever seen. I was expecting him to punch me or something. Instead, he asked me my name, and we talked for the rest of the night. Mostly, I kept telling him how hot he was and tried to kiss him while he fought me off and blushed. Oh, crap. I had forgotten about that. I had made a complete fool of myself. He had only kissed me because I wouldn't leave him alone until he did. But then he wrote something on a piece of paper and told me that it was for tomorrow and that if I was still interested then, I should meet him here. I think he acted the way he had to be a gentleman. He had to have seen how drunk I was and didn't want to take advantage of me. But how could someone be that hot and thoughtful? There was clearly something wrong with him. "Kendall, you came," he said, smiling through a rural Tennessee accent. Oh God, he remembered my name. What was his? "Of course," I said, stepping within an arm's length of him. "How could I not? You don't remember my name, do you?" he joked. "I do. It's... My thoughts tumbled desperately. "That's okay. You were pretty drunk last night. I'm just glad you came." The note helped. It was pinned to me. He laughed. "Yeah, I didn't want you to lose it. Like your phone." So I did lose my phone. "That's what you told me." Crap. I was kind of hoping you had it. "Why would I have it?" he asked, still smiling. "I was just hoping. So are you gonna make me ask you your name?" "Oh, it's Nero. Kendall." "I remember." "Right. I have to be honest. I don't remember much from last night. The only things I do came to me about 60 seconds ago. Sorry." "That's okay. What do you want to know?" "I remember everything." I thought for a second. Did we kiss?" Nero laughed. "Yeah, we kissed. Was it good?" "It was for me." "And I was kissing you, so it was probably good for me too." Nero blushed. "What did you tell me about yourself that I might have forgotten?"
"I don't think I told you much of anything."
"Why not?"
"You didn't ask."
"But I asked you a lot about yourself. I know that you're from Nashville."
"Born and raised," I confirmed. "I know that you're a junior."
"True." "And I know that you're the cutest guy I've ever seen." "But you didn't have to tell me that."
My cheeks burned hearing his words. It clearly wasn't true, but to hear him say it sent a pulse through me that settled in my sex, making me hard.
"You're pretty hot too," I told him, knowing I was beet red.
"Thanks."
"Since you know so much about me, I guess I should ask you about you."
"Okay.
Shoot. Where are you from?"
"It's a small town about 2 hours from here."
"And what year are you?"
"I'm a freshman. I took a few years off after high school."
"What's your major?"
"Right now? Football," he said with a laugh.
"Football?" I said, feeling the air release from our bubble.
"Yeah, I'm here on a scholarship. So right now, I'm eating and breathing it."
I stared at Nero, not hearing another word after he said football. A pain shot to the pit of my stomach until I was forced to cut him off.
"No, I'm sorry. No, I can't do this. Football? Hell no," I said, stepping away and pointing my finger.
I stared at him again as the shock washed across his beautiful face. Why did he have to be a football player?
"Fuck!"
I shouted in utter frustration before storming off and not looking back.